Let the fucking intro go a little too long there for a minute.
But, shit, yeah.
You know, whatever, it's fine. We're just talking. We're just shooting the shit.
Actually, it's probably better that way because we dropped way too many F-bombs. And for the YouTube algorithm, I know there's like a 30-second to 2-minute. I don't remember which one it is, but
yeah,
we
can't. Yeah, I think it's like 30, the first 30 seconds or 90 seconds maybe. We can't say any F-words.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's what we've been doing wrong this whole time. Because I usually open up with an F-word like at least 15 times.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why our videos haven't been getting played.
We're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah. Dang. And especially with the podcast called BFN Show. That one is for sure shooting us in the foot because the F word is in the name.
But freaking nowhere.
Anyways, well, this is All Gas, No Trash. I'm Josh, here today with your good host, Adam.
Yes, you can follow us on All Gas, No Trash. Oh, well, me specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
All Gas, No Trash official, all platforms, Instagram and Substack and YouTube. And you can follow Game Rage Magazine. I don't know all of them.
Game Rage Magazine. I'm not even doing the plugs anymore. I don't even care. I don't think anyone's. No one ever listens.
That's true. Well, I mean, I'll leave the links in the bio or the fucking leave the links in the description of the video if you want to do. You guys don't fucking do it anyways.
Yeah. What do you think, chat? What do you think? What's going on, chat? Like,
oh man, thanks for the 5 gifted. Yeah. All right. So this particular subject. Dude, I went down a fucking rabbit hole this week because I was thinking about because we had this previous episode about nice and how I thought nice. If you were following me on Instagram, you would know about this earlier, but I was talking about nice and how I think they're going to end up on Epitaph Records. Epitaph Records is founded by Bad Religion's Brett Gurewitz and it's got a whole bunch of punk fans and shit. So I think what ultimately is going to happen is that Nice, once they have the release of their debut album, it's going to be critically acclaimed. I think it's going to be the tits. Like I heard the second single and we'll probably listen to it on this episode at the very end. If you guys want to check it out, it's called The Bow or The Bow. I actually don't know which way it's pronounced, but I think they're going to be scoped out by Epitaph Records, and I think they're going to offer them a sweet deal and say, hey, come to our record label. We'll get you publishing. We'll make sure that you end up on different medias, movies, television.
Wait, is their follower count above 50,000?
No, it's 20,000.
Oh, that's not enough.
25,000. So
as we've seen in those trickery TikToks.
Yeah.
The record label calling them and saying, you know, if you get your followers up to like 50K, then we can talk. All right. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's so strange because Nice just doesn't have the numbers in terms of Spotify. But what they've been able to accomplish to go on tour and play with a number of legacy and established acts, despite the fact that they don't have it's fucking impressive.
That is very impressive. And that's fucking crazy, to be honest with you.
And their following isn't that big compared to maybe some other acts in their area or their genre. That's not to downplay them at all. I think what they're doing is spectacular. But the point I was trying to get at was that Epitaph, I think, is going to hear this shit and they're going to take them to the fucking moon. They're going to end up on television. Because that's what always happens. It always happens that way where a smaller record label has these cool artists and then they just migrate. I'll give you a little rundown of examples. There's this band called Pearl and the Oysters and they're on Field Trip Records along with Pixel Grip. Pearl and the Oysters left for Stone's Throw Records, which is a larger record label, not major record label, but just a larger record label. And I'm sure they left because it's a brand recognition. They're like, fuck yeah, we want to be on Stone's Throw Records. Mm-hmm. And, what's another example? Ah, fuck it. That's the only one I need. I only need one example. But so then I started kind of thinking about other things. And I'm like, wait a minute. Booking agencies. Who does Nice belong to? Who does Nice have as their booking agencies? So I look into it. It's Paladin Artists, right?
Okay.
So Nice went on tour with this band called GBH. They're an old punk band. And I was like, they're also part of this roster. And then
curious, you say.
So then I was like, wait a minute. So do booking agencies prioritize having multiple artists on the same bill? So then I looked at other fucking booking agencies and there's this other one called Atomic Music Group. And I realized that there's these two bands on Atomic Music Group called Twin Seas, and the other one's called McCharmleys. They have nothing to do genre-wise. Like, one of them has synthesizers, the other one sounds more like the Beatles, right? But they have they have nothing in common.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, they're playing a fucking show together, or they played a show together at the Observatory in Costa Mesa, or Santa Ana, roughly. And I was like, wait, that's the second instance I've seen that shit. Mm. So then I was thinking about back in the day when I was thinking about trying to get Kaina Lu and Munya together, because these are two artists that have worked collaboratively through music with one another. And I thought, fuck yeah, I want to be the first person that does that shit, that puts them on the same bill.
Yeah.
So I have a card. When I talked to the booking agent, and it was from Paradigm Talent Agency, they got absorbed by Wasserman. They're fucking huge. They're as big as it gets, right? So I was thinking, like, fuck, is that the reason why it wouldn't be possible to get Kaina Lu and Wasserman, because of the fact Kaina Lu is not part of that booking agency, that they would never put those two together, because they would say, hey, we got Munya and we want somebody else. Why would we go out of our own roster on a bill when we can make double commissions off of two artists on the same bill?
Why we got to split anything with anybody?
Yeah.
That's how they're probably looking at it.
So I just started looking at a number of agencies, and then this one comes up, which is Sam Austin's, who's part of Wasserman, and Magdalena Bay. They're playing a show together, or they're going on tour with each other, and they both fucking happen to be on fucking Wasserman. So I'm like, dude, is this like how it fucking works? Like, that booking agencies will talk to talent buyers. So the talent buyer will come to the booking agency and say, hey, I want to book this artist. And then the booking agency will say, sure, you can make that happen, but I need to handcuff another artist with you, because in order to get this one, you got to get the other one too. And at that point, somebody that's a talent buyer or a promoter would say, like, I don't know about that one. Like, I kind of wanted this lineup, and you're asking me to put on this other extra artist that doesn't really make sense, and I don't know if I'm really all that interested in it. And they're kind of like pushing it on you, because it's like, well, in order for this to work, if you want it this bad, and maybe they have that kind of leverage because the band is that popular, and then they can do that they're trying to get double commissions off of both their artists. So
yeah, it could be, or it could just be that they want to discourage maybe a booking agent from doing something, and then they go,
a promoter or a talent buyer.
Yeah. Maybe they want to discourage them from doing shit, and then they're just like, oh, well, let's throw in some shitbag artists in here. And then they go, yeah, all right, cool. And they're like, oh, fuck, like, you know, I guess we got to do this now. But I do think that, yeah, that shit sounds rigged as fuck, because why would you go as someone who's a talent buyer? Why would you say, hey, so-and-so, I want to work with artist A, and I want to put on a show with them. And then they go, cool, but you got to take artist Z. Like, well, I don't fucking want artist Z. It's like a buy one, get one mandatory.
It's not free. Yeah, it's not.
It's
free.
Mandatory. It's like buy one, get one mandatory. It's like, well, I want this show. What if this show sucks? And that's the thing that the booking agencies don't. I don't think they give a shit, because they're like, well, that's not our problem to sell tickets. That's your problem. Like,
yeah,
we don't give a shit if this is a bad combo. You sell the tickets. Go on.
Yeah.
And that really does show you how talent buyers and that those type of people have, and promoters have, zero fucking power.
It's true. I mean, the only thing, it's so fucked up, because it really speaks to how independent promoters and independent venues and independent talent buyers of venues, they're basically leveraging chips for Golden Voice and Live Nation, because they'll go and say, hey, we want to do a show with you. And then it doesn't really work out, because it's like, we were really going to go with Golden Voice. We just used you because we wanted to up the price. Because there was a demand for our artist, we wanted the best we can get. And we know if there was a monopoly with Golden Voice or Live Nation, it wouldn't be possible to get an extra 10 grand if there wasn't another venue fighting for our artist. But anyways, just to tie that in back with Nice. So what I would suspect would happen with Nice is that they would get a nicer booking agency, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the bands that I had seen in the past, like 5 or 6 years ago, was this band called the Linda Lindas. And by virtue of signing on to Epitaph, and even that was fucking suspicious. So I saw them perform at this Day of the Dead thing at, you know, roughly around Halloween. Mm-hmm. And there was ABC 7 News. They were there. And I even think that is suspicious in its of itself, in and of itself. So the pandemic rolls out. This band goes and plays at the Los Angeles Library. I don't remember which one. And they play the song called Racist Sexist Boy. And it's not the fact that there's anything wrong with that particular song. It was that they became internet sensations after that point. Mm. And then I think the day after or the week after, they signed to fucking Epitaph Records. And then, you know, they go and appear on Jimmy Kimmel or whatever fucking television show. I can't remember which one. And yeah, they're megastars. But the thing that was suspicious is that once they signed to Epitaph Records, they became part of the booking agency CAA, right?
All
right. That's a big fucking agency. So I was like, hmm. So that show that they played with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, who are a band back from the 2000s and they're more of a legacy act, but they're still huge.
Yeah.
They played with the Linda Linda. So I was like, was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs part of the fucking, are they part of the CAA agency? And lo and behold, it's fucking true. So it's like once Nice gets into that, they're going to start playing with artists that are part of whatever fucking booking agency.
Yeah.
So it just turns into a, once you start moving up the fucking ladder, everything becomes extremely fucking curated that it's only ever going to be with artists from a booking agency roster and probably nothing else. Like if you want to see, if you had it in your mind that you wanted to see two punk bands that have never played together, it's less likely to happen if they're part of two different booking agencies.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy too is this further ingrains the fact that most artists, now I'm not going to say all because I'm sure there are exceptions to this, but most artists, they like to have this, I don't know, air of, oh, they're in control and they're doing all this, they're doing the stuff they want to do. This really goes to show you that you, as an artist, you're basically just an employee at that point.
It's fucking true because, again, when we're talking about Sam Austin's and Magdalena Bay, right? Two bands that seemingly have nothing in fucking common, right? Why are they together? Because Wasserman said, do this fucking tour or we're going to cut you, and your circuit through Live Nation or Golden Voice or whatever, you're never going to see that shit again. You're never going to get close to that. You are going through our fucking system. Therefore,
yeah,
you better be fucking thankful or we can just easily cut you and replace you with an artist with an equal or greater following, yeah, with a equal or greater streaming,
mm-hmm,
with yep, equal or greater streams, equal or greater popularity.
That will just do what the fuck we say and not question us at all.
Yeah.
And man, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks that that's how it is. But like you said, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And it really throws the small promoter. Like we were talking about this the other day when we were kind of discussing this topic.
Yeah.
Like you as a promoter, right? If you wanted to, the only way you're going to get, let's say, Kainalu and Munya, right? Let's say the only way you're going to get that is if they go, all right, well, you're going to have to pay us like $5,000 over whatever the normal asking price is or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll do it. Okay, you can get and curate some shows that you want to do, but if they're going to fuck you or you're going to eat a dick on every single one of these, you can only do that for a certain amount of time until you then just are going to run out of money. Because if you're operating these shows at a loss, and that's probably part of the reason of like, oh yeah, we're just going to do that to people. And then, hey, if we get anybody to bite, okay, cool. But to make it as a small promoter is seemingly next to impossible it comes to like this type of stuff. Like you can't really put together shows.
You can't do the dream matches. You can't do the dream bills.
You might get one and then they're going to pick the others.
Yeah.
The other two or three bands on that show. If you're a small promoter, the only people you're going to be able to work with are the people that are like independent that aren't really signed to anybody. Those guys you can put together, but then that's what sucks. Ain't nobody know who the fuck these people are most of the time. So how are you going to sell a show with three unknown fucking bands? You know what I'm saying? That's not monetarily feasible at that point. So from a business perspective, you're in the business of making money off of booking shows. Well, and promoting them, well, fuck, if your show ain't going to make no money, then your business model's fucked.
Yeah, and for smaller venues, I think it's probably slightly easier, where they're like, we're not expecting much from this show, so why don't you just take 50% of the door and we'll keep 50%, and then obviously the alcohol sales and everything else go to us, and 50% can be divvied up between the two or three bands that are on the thing, and then whatever's left over you can keep however you decide you're going to do it, because at that point bands don't even have leverage in themselves to demand anything.
No, they don't.
But I don't know, man, it just makes you realize that at some point things become curated to the point that you're not really in a position to do anything about it. It's like money over what would be awesome. Like, you wanted to play with this band too fucking bad because you're going to play with somebody else on the roster.
Too fucking bad.
It's true. It's true, though.
You just shut up, employee. And that's what, dude, that's what it is. Like, when you sign with an agency or a label or whatever, you're just signing up to be a goddamn employee.
Yeah.
You ain't escaping shit, buddy. You're now in, you're corporate, bitch. Like, you're in the system now.
Yeah, and you might as well, I mean, if you're smart enough to do that, to route your own tours and shit, by all fucking means do it. Because at least there's the prospect of you playing with your fucking buddies.
Yeah.
Versus signing with a booking agency and in all likelihood never getting to play with people that you actually like.
Yeah.
Unless they're bigger than you and the booking agency says, oh man, you definitely have to fucking play with them because we need to write the coattails of that artist so that it can rub off on you and you can get your bag.
Yeah, true.
And you can grow your following or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, it does seem like this is just one giant scam. There's no real other explanation for it.
Yeah.
It's just scammery.
Yeah. And to add a bit more about Epitaph Records, which I also think is suspect because I wouldn't put it past a record label to do this. So they have this one other artist. So talking about like the Linda Lindas, right? And having their moment at the library and shit. I think that was a setup. I think that was something to get people excited and create a buzz around the band. And then once they signed, they're like, oh, fuck yeah, they're going to one of the biggest punk record labels in Southern California and possibly the United States and also maybe around the world. They have this other artist, a smaller artist named Ariel View, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this artist went on to Life is Beautiful. It's a concert in Las Vegas. And they fucking happened to be at this festival, and Green Day was one of the headliners, and they're standing in the front row, and of course there's some kind of bullshit segment where they're gonna have somebody from the audience hop on stage, and guess who goes on stage? This girl named Harmony, that's part of Ariel View. She's gonna play guitar with fucking Green Day, and I'm thinking that is the biggest load of staged horseshit that I've ever fucking seen. That
somebody, really
somebody from a punk record label is going to hop on stage with Green Day to have this moment, this artificial moment, so that they can create a buzz around Ariel View and everybody be like, oh my God, I didn't know this girl was in Ariel View, this band that's also part of Epitaph, which also would make it more sus to be like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
So I just went a whole down. I went down a whole rabbit hole with Epitaph Records, and I think that moment was staged. I'm like, shit, dude, where does it fucking end? Where shit staged? The shit everything. With Jocko Teen?
Yep, everything is staged. It's all a stage play at this point.
Yeah,
and
they're trying to create these fucking moments that probably maybe real to, or maybe they aren't real, between the artist and another artist. Or what I believe happened was that Green Day and Epitaph talked about this and the girl didn't know, or all three of them knew, because in order for her to perform that correctly, she would have had to perform in advance.
Right. Yeah. They had to have known. It was all set up.
Yeah.
It's all set up. And that's terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody. And that's the thing that sucks, is it's all in this like elitism type deal. And like, you can't get in unless you're like, you know, you're cool with somebody. And then you can maybe get in, and that just sucks too, because it's also discouraging to people who are legitimately trying to like get into it and are good and talented and will probably never make it because they're not, you know, they either don't have one little piece of the puzzle or they're not connected in some way that'll get them in.
Yeah, which so. Probably, I mean, if we were ever to do shows in the future, it's going to have to be through building this brand. quote unquote.
Yeah.
And making it better and making it universal to the point that people are like, oh man, these guys curate fucking awesome music. I gotta be
a part of that.
I gotta be part of that. When are they doing their first show? I gotta find out. But that's only after the fact that we're
yeah. It's like there's no you have to put the cart before the horse in this instance.
Yeah, apparently. Which is fine. I don't care. I don't really care about doing shows because I don't want to fucking deal with people. And it's fine. It's when people come to us and say, "Hey, you guys are doing banger shit. Let's fucking do something about it." But enough of that. We're gonna do a quick listen of a track from Nice. They came out with their second single, and I gotta hear what Josh has to think about.
All right, let me find it. What's the? Oops, that's Apple TV. That's not the
one. It's called The Bow or The Bow.
What? I'll look for it on my phone. We'll play it on that. The V O W
B.
The Bow. Oh, B O W. I just said
the bow or the bow. I don't know.
The Bow.
Nice.
Oh, that's Bow Wow. No, the
Lil
Bow.
Bow Wow.
Lil Bow Wow. N I I S. Right. The
yes.
Bow. Nice. The Bow Ties. This is not. I don't even think this is on here. Is this on Apple Music? N-I-S-S.
N-I-I-S.
Oh, shit. That's why I spelled it wrong. N-I-I-S. Nice. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. The Bow.
Nice World. The Bow?
Yeah. The Bow or the Bow? I don't know.
I don't know. All right. We'll give it a listen. All right. Here we go. Ready? Go. All right. That was Nice. The Bow. Damn. That was fucking sweet, man. I can't wait to do this album review.
Dude, I think I can sense it's going to be a 10.
Oh, I honestly, if this is a preview and it's anything, if the rest of the album is like this, oh my God, it's going to such be a 10. Now, however, what was the last album review we did?
Wooz.
Wooz. Okay. Remember that started off fucking strong and we thought, oh, I thought for sure. I was like, this might be a 10. And it just sucked a dick after that. It just slowly petered out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hope that's not the case with this night.
No, I don't think it will. I hope it's not. But, dude, I think this band is going to go fucking number one with the bullet. I'm telling you, man, this is the transition of a band from KXLU to K-Rock. They're fucking going mainstream, not because they were told to. It's because they made the conscious choice to expand their sound and make some bitchin' ass music, but still have the aggression there. And, dude, it's I could taste it in my fucking mouth, dude. It's fucking these guys are going to be fucking loaded with money, man. They're going to kill.
Oh, yeah. They potentially have a mint making capacity right now at this point.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Is this their first album?
Yeah, it is. It's their debut album.
Fuck,
we're on top of it, man.
Holy shit on a stick.
Yeah.
Well, March 28th. What day of the week is that?
I think it's probably it's always a Friday, I think. Hopefully. Always hopefully.
Friday. Let's see here.
Usually your Friday.
I'm just curious. March 20th.
It's a Friday.
8th. Yep, it's Friday. So, well, it looks like we will be listening to that extremely quickly on the 20. We'll probably have that episode out the next day or on the Sunday, the 30th, a couple days later.
Yeah, we're probably a month and several days.
Well, it's a month and 5 days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, shit, there's only 28 days. So technically it's just basically a month.
Oh, I guess you're right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have that happening. Hopefully you guys check it out because I'm pretty fucking stoked. Dude, I'm telling you right now, this might be album of the fucking year for me already.
Already? Yeah. Just off of one song?
Two songs.
Oh, there's two. I haven't heard
that. Yeah, this is monumental shit. I'm telling you, they're going to be the best punk band in Los Angeles, and they might be one of the best bands that we listen to in the fucking year. Like,
damn, are we going to shoot our album of the year load at the beginning of the year? Already 2 months or 3 months in?
Already gooning to
fucking... Q1. Gooning
complete. To fucking Nice, dude.
Damn. Yeah. Well, you know what that is? Nice.
Yeah.
Let's get that out on a tray.
Nice. All right. We're done here.
All right.
You already know all the links, so yeah, I'll post them. Yeah, go you can suck them. My ass.
Yep.